want to direct our attention to the book of Isaiah, chapter 49. Beginning with verse 1, reading from the New Living Translation of the Scriptures. The word of the Lord is as follows. Listen to me, all you in distant lands. Pay attention, you who are far away. The Lord called me before my birth. From within the womb, he called me by my name. He made my words of judgment as sharp as a sword. He has hidden me in the shadow of his hand. I am like a sharp arrow in his quiver. He said to me, you are my servant, Israel, and you will bring me glory. I replied, but my work seems so useless. I have spent my strength for nothing and to no purpose. Yet I leave it all in the Lord's hands. I will trust God for my reward. And now the Lord speaks, the one who formed me in my mother's womb to be his servant, who commissioned me to bring Israel back to him. The Lord has honored me, and my God has given me strength. He says, you will do more than restore the people of Israel to me. I will make you a light to the Gentiles, and you will bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. Thus far, the word of the Lord. You may be seated. We are continuing in our series on leadership, and our sub-focus for a while has been challenges, the challenges of leadership, and so we're on another challenge, and it's contained in these words of Isaiah. It says, he said to me, you are my servant Israel, and you will bring me glory. I replied, but my work seems so useless. I have spent my strength for nothing and to no purpose. Yet I leave it all in the Lord's hands. I will trust God for my reward. Herein is another challenge that we want to lift up. It's the challenge of feeling useless. Feeling useless. And just look at somebody and tell them, come out of your feelings. Come out of your feelings. The recent dance associated with Drake's single entitled In My Feelings has taken the world of social media by storm. Everybody is seeking to meet the In My Feelings challenge. I was made aware of this by Lady Kim and Cameron and Carson, seeking to bring me up to date on all things hip-hop and relevant. And so I listened to the song and I read the lyrics. And you know, the dance challenge only centers around a hook in the song. Many of you can sing it by heart. Kiki, do you love me? Are you riding? Say you'll never ever leave from beside me. Cause I want you and I need you and I'm down for you always. Y'all know it. Y'all know it. You had it. But the song is much longer than the hook. And as I studied it more and looked for the various interpretations of the song's meaning, it occurred to me that the title of the song is worth paying attention to more than the lyrics. The title, In My Feelings, could be the theme song for the past two generations. People are living their lives literally by their feelings. Decisions are made simply based upon feelings. People stay in or opt out of relationships, no longer based upon commitment, but simply based upon feelings. And while that may be fine for the general public, it can never be the case for those who lead. Leaders cannot afford to live or to lead in their feelings. Feelings are fickle. Feelings are incomplete indicators of reality. Feelings are emotional responses to events as they are perceived by an individual. And the problem with that, my friends, is that our perceptions are often incomplete and occasionally wrong. How many of you recall feeling some kind of way about something based upon a perception that you had, only to find out that your perception was wrong? You were all keyed up. You had everything that you were going to say made up in your mind, only to find out that what you perceived, what you thought to be true, what you believed to be the case was absolutely not it. No sustained leader can lead by being in his or her feelings. Consistent and sustained leadership requires that you come out of your feelings. That's what's shown in today's text. It comes from the prophetic ministry of Isaiah, perhaps the most quoted of the prophets, due to the fact that his prophetic work has the most chapters. We are familiar with the words of Isaiah 1, 18 and 19. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. We know Isaiah 6, 1 through 10, in the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train of his robe filled the temple, and above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he did fly. And one cried to another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of the glory of the Lord. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. We know those words. And so I said, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken out with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged. We know about Isaiah having heard that dialogue between the Trinity, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And Isaiah saying, here am I, send me. We know Isaiah, he gives us, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. We know Isaiah 9, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, and those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. We know Isaiah. Isaiah is the one who gives us those words. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up on wings as eagles. They'll run and not get weary. They'll walk and not faint. We know Isaiah. And knowing Isaiah as well as we think that we know him, as well versed as we are with his prophetic sayings, it strikes us sort of strange that Isaiah would also have the words of our text. That Isaiah, having said what he said, having served the Lord the way that he served God, that Isaiah would have these words. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing. The NLT is more pointed. I replied, but my work seems so useless. I have spent my strength for nothing and to no purpose. And the message even makes it more plain. Here, I've worked for nothing. I've nothing to show for a life of hard work. Hear these words present another challenge of leadership. It is the challenge of vocational doubt. It is the time when the leader feels his or her work is in vain, is of no use, is pointless, is for nothing. It's the feeling of futility. Many a leader at many levels has known the feeling of futility and the words of pointless, in vain, for nothing, and of no use. Many a parent knows the feeling when nothing that you seem to do or say seems to work with that child. Many a teacher looking at students resistant to learning knows that feeling when no strategy that you employ seems to break through to a certain group of students. Many a community activist laboring among pathetic or apathetic residents knows the feeling. It's the feeling of Roman Gabriel when he says, "I'm tired of doing the impossible for the ungrateful." There are those spouses who know the feeling when it seems like no effort that you make is ever good enough. Isaiah, this eagle-eyed prophet, had a time where he felt that his work was useless, that his work was for nothing, and that he was wasting his time. There are scholars who would suggest that Isaiah is really channeling the feelings of the suffering servant, which is a precursor to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Here is what we do know. Had Isaiah stayed within his feelings, we well may never have received chapters 50 through 66. Had Isaiah stayed within his feelings, we never would have received those words. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity, chastened for our peace, and had stripes for our healing. Had Isaiah stayed within his feelings, we might not have ever gotten those words. No weapon that's formed against you shall be able to prosper. But the fact that Isaiah did have chapters after 49 lets us know that Isaiah came out of his feelings. And I believe that there are some things in this passage where God shows us how a relationship with him calls us out of our feelings. When you doubt the usefulness of your work, you got to put it in a proper context. You got to recognize a divinely foreordained assignment. Look in verses 1 and 2 and verse 5. The prophet speaks of God calling him before his birth, calling his name from the womb, forming him within his mother's womb to be the Lord's servant. The prophet asserts the nature of his work being that of assigned by God. Everything about his life is pointed to the assignment of God upon him. He takes his eyes off of what he sees or does not see happening around him and places his eyes back on the God who purposed and assigned him. He realizes that the value of his work is in who assigned him. He is doing God-assigned, God-ordained work. And the value, therefore, is not in how people respond or don't respond. The value is in God having assigned it to him and his having taken hold of God's assignment. You see, friends, leaders face vocational doubt by recognizing the value of pursuing a divine assignment. When you find yourself doubting the value of your work, you got to realize the nature of your work. You're not just teaching at a school. You're teaching on assignment from God at a school. You're not just doing community work. You're doing community work on assignment from God. You're not just parenting a child. You're parenting a child on assignment from God. You're not just a husband or a wife. You're a husband or a wife on assignment from God. The value, the worth, and the meaning are in the fact that God has assigned bind you to it. You were made for it. You were created for it. You've been kept for it. You've been equipped for it. You've been gifted for it. The worth and value are not in how the people respond. The worth and value are in the fact that God has assigned you. You are doing the Lord's work. You're counseling for the Lord. You're making appointments for the Lord. You're answering the phone for the Lord. You're managing projects for the Lord. You're cooking. You're cleaning. You're landscaping for the Lord. You're playing. You're administering. You're guarding and you're guiding for the Lord. Will you help somebody out and just tell them, I'm doing this for the Lord? Recognizing the context of his work empowers Isaiah to put himself, his work, and how he feels in the Lord's hands. Listen to him in verse 4. Isaiah said, I replied, but my work seems so useless. I have spent my strength for nothing and to no purpose. Yet, I leave it all in the Lord's hands. Isaiah realizes that because the work that he's doing is not his work, he cannot rely on himself for the work. He can't trust his word about the work. He can't trust his judgment about the work. He can't stay in how he feels or what he thinks about the work. He must put himself and his work in the hands and in the judgment of God. Isaiah realizes that there is a word beyond him and beyond those around him. He understands that God has the last word. He understands that God will pronounce his verdict. And with God having assigned the work and with God having purposed him for the work, God knows how the work should end. God knows the impact that God desires for him to have. God knows the sweep and sway that Isaiah is to exert. God has a perspective beyond Isaiah's. And Isaiah resigns himself to let the verdict, let the judgment, let the assessment, and let the conclusion all rest with God. How does a leader face vocational doubt? The leader faces the vocational doubt by leaving the assessment of value with God. You tell your neighbor, you got to leave it with God. Every person must come to terms with the incomplete nature of his or her understanding of that to which he or she has been called. We only see what is before us. We never see what is beyond us. The significance of a person's work is never limited to what is before that person. It is also what is beyond that person. Hear me now, the value and virtue of your work can never be comprehended or judged within the actual moment. Because, friends, the value of some things that God has you do now will only be realized later. Some people cannot appreciate what you're doing or saying now because of their level of maturity. They will come to appreciate it and value it later when they grow up. There are many things that my parents said when I was a child that I did not appreciate when they said it. I do now. There were things that they did that I did not understand, but I do now. There were boundaries that they set that I loathed then, but I love them now. At the time when they didn't think that I was listening and when I didn't think that I needed what they were saying, God was planting a word, a thought, a consideration, a habit, an outlook that God would mature in the time that God saw fit. And what I want you to understand is some seeds that you plant in the lives of people or even organizations don't bud or blossom as quickly as you would like, but the seed is planted. And if the seed is planted, then, and if it is planted and if it is watered, then God will give the increase in a time known by God. Here it is, the only one who sees both now and later in its fullness is God. The only one who can fully appreciate what you're doing now is the only one who fully knows what it will produce later on. And that person is God. And that's why you got to leave some things to him. That's why you have the assignment that you have now. That's why you have the burden that you have now. That's why you have the vision and the passion that you have now. That's why it's urgent for you now. That's why it's pressing for you now. That's why it won't let you go, and you can't seem to let it go now, because the God who sees the now and the next has assigned you to do what you're doing and say what you're saying now. And that God is the God who knows the next that is attached to everything that you are doing now. Ah, slap five with somebody and say, there's a next attached to what you're doing now. And when you know that, you put yourself and you put your children in God's hands. You put yourself and you put your students in God's hands. You put yourself and you put your marriage in God's hands. You put yourself and you put your neighborhood in God's hands. You put yourself and you put your ministry in God's hands now, because you believe God is good for the now and God is good for the next. Oh, I believe I'm talking to somebody right now, and you're making up in your mind, I'm going to put my now in the hands of God because my next is attached to it, and God has both of them at the same time. Isaiah says, I'm going to leave it to God. God has the last word. God has the final word. God has my validation. Isaiah says, I'm looking for God to validate me. Listen to him. He says, I will trust God for my reward. With this being a God-assigned work, Isaiah understands that the outcome belongs to God and the reward comes from God. And therefore, that for which Isaiah starts looking is no longer at people. Isaiah starts looking for something from God. His expectation is not in the earthbound. His expectation is now in the heavenly. His expectation is in God. You see, the godly leader must see his or her reward coming from God. And what that means is, therefore, the pleasure of God must be the leader's goal. The smile of God must be the leader's ambition. My God, the well done of God must be the leader's intention. That means that sometimes you've got to lift your eyes from where you are, and you've got to lift them to him who is above, because it is he who has assigned you, and it is the Lord that has purposed you, and therefore it is the Lord whose pleasure you seek to receive. Isaiah says, I'm coming out of my feelings, and I'm looking to God for the value of my work. I'm looking to God for the validation of my work. And listen to what comes next in verse 5. Isaiah says, and now the Lord speaks. Isn't that good news? The Lord will speak. The one who formed me in my mother's womb to be a servant, who commissioned me to bring Israel back to him. The Lord has honored me, and my God has given me strength. Look at what the Lord starts saying. The Lord says, you will do more than restore the people of Israel to me. I will make you a light to the Gentiles, and you will bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. With the servant of the Lord, now we're going messianic, with the servant of the Lord feeling that his work is of no use, God speaks of extending the servant's reach. With the servant feeling less than, God speaks of more that the servant will do. God speaks of the more that what the servant has in mind for himself and of his service. If you're going to lead well, you got to lead past past your vocational doubt. It requires that you stay open to a word from the Lord about what's more and what's next. God is able to pull you out of your vocational doubt by speaking a word about the more that is to come. There is more than what your feelings consider. There is more than what your feelings understand. There is more than what your feelings can fathom. And what God says, I'm going to give a word to inform your feelings. I'm going to give a word to inspire hope where there is despair, and to give you meaning and purpose where there is futility. God says, I can't let you stay in your feelings. I've got to give you a word that then forms how you feel, or reforms how you feel, or transforms how you feel. God will give you a word. When Abraham needed a word to overcome his doubts, to transform his understanding about the worthwhileness of his pursuit, the Lord took Abraham outside and told Abraham, look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have. When Jacob needed a word to conquer his doubts and transform his understanding with his being in flight from Esau, my God, at Bethel, God gave him a word. My God, at the top of the stairway of a ladder with angels ascending and descending, God gives Jacob a word, and he says, I am the Lord, the God of your grandfather Abraham, the God of your father Isaac. The ground you are lying on belongs to you. I'm going to give it to you and your descendants. Your descendants will be as numerous as the dust of the earth. They will spread out in all directions, to the west and the east, to the north and the south, and all the families of the earth will be blessed through you and your descendants. And what's more, I am with you, and I will protect you wherever you go. And one day I will bring you back to this land, and I will not leave you until I finish giving you everything I have promised you. The Lord will give you a word. When David needed a word to transform his doubts into hope and his fear into confidence, God gave him a word at Ziklag. Pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail you'll recover all. When Paul needed a word in Corinth to transform his doubts into a steadfast hope, God gave him a word. Keep it up, and don't let anyone intimidate or silence you. No matter what happens, I am with you, and no one is going to be able to hurt you. You have no idea how many people I have on my side in this city. Having received the word, Isaiah comes out of his feelings, and he says, I'm going to give you God, and God, I'm going to give you service for some more years. And so Isaiah is able to now give us, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. You got to stay open for a word from God. That was Jesus's posture. He remained open for a word from the Lord. In needed times, the Father gave him a word just when he needed it. Coming up out of the baptismal waters of the Jordan River, can't you hear the Father saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Can you see him now on the Mount of Transfiguration with Moses on one side and Elijah on the other? And the Father gives him another word. Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And then, in the Gospel of John, around the 12th chapter,
My God, around the 13th chapter, there is a word that says there are Greeks that are looking for Jesus. And Philip gives Jesus the word that the Greeks are looking for him. And Jesus says, now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this hour came I unto the world. The Father sees Jesus in a troubled state of mind. He says, I need to give him a word that will transform how he feels. I got to bring my boy out of his feelings. And so the Father says, don't you worry. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. When they take you to Calvary, I'm going to glorify my name. When they put nails in your hands and nails in your feet and a spear in your side, I'll be glorifying my name. When it feels like you're all by yourself and you got to cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I'll be glorifying my name, and I'll give you a word beyond Psalm 22. I'll give you Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Surely, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Can you see Jesus? He got that word. And so he says, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. I'm trusting you with it, because I know you got the last word. Death won't have the last word. The grave won't have the last word. Hell won't have the last word. The devil won't have the last word. Because early Sunday morning, God raised Jesus from the dead, and he's alive forevermore. Stop fire with your neighbor and say, neighbor, stay open to a word from the Lord. Come on out of your feeling. Come out from your doubt. Come out from your fear. Come out from your worry. Come out from your frustration. Come out and say, Lord, I know you're with me. You're on my side. I'm doing your work, and I trust you with the last word. I trust you with the verdict. Say like Job, my witness is in heaven, and my record is on high. Yeah! Yeah! Yeah!
You got to be able to come out. Come out of your feelings. Because there's more than what you see. There's more than what you imagine. There's more than what people understand. No, no, no. God has more. And he'll give you a word. If you just stay open to the word that God gives you, he will give you a word. He'll tell you everything will be all right. He'll tell you every battle he'll fight. He'll tell you you can make it through the night. He will give you a word, and it will change your very life. I don't know who I'm talking to. I don't know what parent I'm talking to. I don't know what spouse I'm talking to. I don't know what administrator, I don't know what teacher I'm talking to. But as you felt as if your efforts are not making any headway and things are in vain, God is saying, no, 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 no. You got a limited perspective. He's doing something. They're listening. They're hearing. They're paying attention. He's planting it, and he's keeping it. And at the right moment, it will spring up. Nothing that you plant is not going to bring forth fruit. Everything that you plant. And therefore, hear that word. Everything will be all right. Every battle he'll fight. You're going to make it through the night. He'll give you a word that will change your life. I want to pray with some people. Whoever you are, will you come to the altar? Come on, teacher. Come on, parent. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Let me pray with you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I see you. Come on, Batesford. Come on, South Charlotte. Everything will be all right.
You're going to make it through the night. Everything's going to be all right. He spoke a word that changed my life.
Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you, God, because you know how we've been in our feelings. You know the thoughts that we've had. You know the internal messages that have been playing. You know the fatigue that we felt. God, you even know the resignation that has literally been in our very minds and spirits. But God, we're so glad that you who created us, you who assigned us, you who purposed us, you who have called us, you who have placed us, you who have joined us, you who have given to us. Oh God, we thank you that you are committed to what you've assigned, what you've purposed, what you've determined, what you've joined together, what you've tied, what you've provided. God, we thank you that you are committed to not just what we see, but beyond what we see, what you've already always known. God, we thank you for that right now. And so, Father, I'm praying right now for those at the altar. I'm praying for a lift of burden. I'm praying right now, God, for a release of pain and anxiety. God, I'm praying right now for a transformation in outlook and feeling. Even right now, God, thank you. Thank you, 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 that there is nothing that they have said or done that has been empty or wasted or vain, oh God, but it is full, it is meaningful, it is purposeful, it has value. Right now, you are working with it. You are doing something. You are making something happen. You are planting and you are watering. And God, thank you that you are granting the increase even right now. God, I thank you. I thank you for every next that's attached to what you've assigned them to do now. I thank you for every next that's attached to every word that they have spoken, every action that they have taken, every boundary that they have laid, every example that they have given, every lesson that they have taught, every prayer that they have prayed. God, I thank you right now for every next, for every time that they have forgiven, every time that they've held their peace, every time that they've extended themselves, every time, oh God, and it seemed like that what they did was not appreciated. God, I thank you right now for the next that is attached to it even right now. And so, God, I'm praying for a lifting. I'm praying for a lifting. I'm praying for a lightning. I'm praying right now, God, for a release in the name of Jesus. And as you release them, and as you lift them, and as you enlighten them, oh God, I am praying that you will strengthen their grip on their assignment, that you will strengthen their hold on the work that you've put in their hands, that you will strengthen their determination in what is theirs. Oh God, I pray right now that they will not allow the devil to cause them to loosen their grip. Oh God, but I pray that you'll strengthen and that you'll tighten it and that you'll make it even firmer. Oh God, because what you have on the other side of now is so glorious. It is so marvelous. It is so magnificent. Oh God, I thank you that they will count every day of struggle as being worth it all because of what you have on the other side. Thank you that you're going to fight every battle.
I'm going to make it through the night.
Thank you that they're going to make it through this night.
You spoke a word that changed.
And you are changing their lives right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're going to make it. 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 You're going to make it.